PCB. K2 PCB, listening for any calls.
K2 PCB, this is KE2 GDQ. Good morning to you today.
Morning, Sir Brad. Welcome to Wednesday. Before I forget, I know I wanted to ask you, were you coming to the picnic this Friday?
I am, and I'm also going to be participating in the car motorcycle truck show.
You're bringing out your car motorcycle truck? Oh, that's so cool. I assume you're bringing out the Dodge, right?
That is correct.
Hey, I know where I'll find you then. Oh, very cool. Yeah, I didn't know you were bringing the truck out. That's awesome. I'll get to see what you've been talking about.
Yeah, John Chavone asked me if I was going and sent me some information on it, and so I went ahead and signed up. I said I was going to go anyway, so this is a good chance to bring the truck out. I just hope it's not raining.
Well, I haven't looked at the weather, but I know normally if there's any rain in the forecast, Lynn's talking about it, and I haven't heard her say anything. Through the week, I think maybe somewhere in the weekend we're going to get rain, but yeah, that'll be after Friday.
Yeah, I just pulled it up on the phone, and I know that, you know, it's still 3 days away. It's saying that there's a 62% chance of rain. I'm thinking it's scattered thunder showers and stuff. I mean, if it rains, it's okay. I mean, if this is not a trailer queen by any stretch of the imagination. So if it gets a little wet, it's going to be okay.
I wasn't expecting that in the forecast. Okay. Good to know. So what else is new and exciting?
Well, let's see. I put a red dot on one of my rifles, so I got to go sight that in today because it's an opportunity. I'm going to be down at the club anyways, so I'm going to go ahead and sight that in because I'm going to need that for this coming Tuesday night. So I'll need that sighted in. So that's my plan for today, other than shoot some trap and clean the Dodge a little bit, and Lord only knows what else I've got going on.
If you know Bill Arbor, Kelly Arbor's husband, we're often cruising Broadway together. I pass their house on my way in. But so what's the red dot about?
So a red dot is an aiming device. It's an optical device, kind of like a scope, but it's not because there's no magnification. So you put the dot on the target and you're good to go. So it helps with aging eyes, and I can see my astigmatism coming through a little bit because the dot's not as sharp as it should be. But that's okay. It'll still work. And then once you zero the dot, you should be good to go.
Interesting. Very interesting. I would think you. I guess your distance isn't changing all that often, or is it? Are you always the same distance away from your relative, same distance away from your target?
So I'm trying to think how to answer this. So my understanding is as long as you put the dot on the target, you should be good. I know that Jeff knows a lot more about red dots than I do, so if he's out there, he might be able to explain.
KC2NVM, good morning. So a red dot is an optical aiming device that allows a large window with a small dot so that if the target appears and the dot is on the target, you typically would zero it, say, 25 yards, so that anything you see in that window with that dot, out to 25 yards, you'll hit it. If you go out to 30 yards, you'll still hit it because the bullet really doesn't care that much about drop at that distance. and start getting out to like 75 to 100 yards, then you would make compensations and you typically put the dot a little higher on your target so the bullet would drop into them. But if you're 75 yards away with a pistol and just turn around and walk away, you wouldn't necessarily take a shot that long unless it was of significant threat.
Okay. I might have another question or two, but maybe I'll ask you later. And good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Red dots and optics on handguns is turned the sport into two factions, those that do and those that don't. And those that don't have usually not belittled the people that do, but the people that do typically are a little faster. It is quicker to act for target acquisition, and all the, pretty much all the young guys are running optics because that's the new shiny thing. Old school people like myself, I haven't embraced it. I do have one, but it's not an everyday or at least every week thing just yet. Once my eyes start going, I will probably embrace it more, but as of right now, I'm good.
I'm in the same camp with you, Jeff. This is my first introduction to Red Dot. I thought it was a good opportunity to try it out on a more stable platform than a handgun. And if I like it, then I may move to one on a handgun.
The red dots are getting very prolific to where they're starting to show up on shotguns, and they've been on rifles, or at least carbines, which is an intermediate distance, out to about 300 yards, and they won't replace long distance, like 100 yards and out, but because you need the magnification at that point. But they're definitely part of the lexicon for firearms.
I see what my confusion was. And maybe I can confirm with this one question. We're talking like a laser point here, right?
Negative. The red dot is only visible to the shooter, so the person behind the trigger. It's projected onto a piece of glass, so it's kind of more like a hologram than a laser beam. Lasers, typically, that would hit the target, they're hard to track and take longer to target acquisition because you're out there looking for that dot. And angles, the hesitancy to bounce because you can't keep that steady. So lasers have kind of fallen out of popularity. There are very, very few people that actually still use them. I don't know any. I've never seen one at our club.
So is the red dot like an adjustable crosshair in your scope?
Yes. So you would typically mount the red dot onto your firearm, and then you would put your firearm in some sort of a rest or on a table with support, and then you would have a target set out at 25 yards, and you would want to be able to hit the X-ring of a target, which would be the center. You'd want to shoot for about a one-inch group at, say, 25 yards, and so that anything within that distance, you put that dot on it and pull the trigger, it should hit the target. But the laser, it's not really a laser projecting from your handgun or your firearm to the target. It's just going to the piece of glass.
I think I'm getting it now. So in terms that I am familiar with, or with equipment that I'm familiar with, we used to have semi-automatic wire bonders that in the optics path, there were red dots. and they were not directly in the path. They were presented via, I'll say reflections or through a prism, you would end up seeing it, and it would overlay the red dot at the same focal distance that you were viewing on the surface. So you wouldn't need to refocus. Your dot would just be superimposed on your target, and that would be the target for water body.
That sounds accurate.
I get it now. K2PTV.
The grand poobah of Tuesday night, Randy, he's the auto mechanic that runs the Tuesday night league. He just picked up a optics pistol and has switched over and is now competing in the optics division. He wants to learn it. There is a bit of a learning curve to the implementation of an optics ready firearm. And normally he would be in first place most of the time with the optics. He's also competing with kids in their 20s. He's in his 60s. And he's still in the top 5 out of maybe 15 people. So he's still doing pretty good, but he's not as quick as he could be because he's still chasing the dot, if you will.
So in the recalibration process, I get it. That's cool. Yeah, I guess I didn't know that that was a thing these days.
It's one of those things on a practicality side. Batteries die, and I don't want to carry something that I depend on a battery, if you will.
I agree with you on that too, Jeff. This is KE2GDQ.
So that white pickup truck that's on Hinchy without the doors, you think that was abandoned there, or is that a project for the local neighborhood?
Drove past it. I didn't even notice it.
You can see it from our parking lot. So if you turn around, you'd be like, whoa, all the doors are gone, the bumpers are gone off the front and the back.
Well, I guess I hope it's a project. Interesting. That'd be a lot of work to, take that apart while just sitting in the street in the middle of the night with no one noticing.
The crew of 4 can do it in about 3 minutes.
Speaking of time, it's 6:44, so I'm going to make this my final. Thank you for the education on red dots, and I'll talk to you tomorrow, Brad. Brad. I'll see you on the inside, Jeff, and good morning, Ross. This is K2PCB.
73's KC2 NVM.
73's to you both. This is KE2GDQ. Is KC2PET out there?
Good morning, Brad. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good this morning. I actually feel better this morning than I did yesterday. How about you? I know yesterday you were pretty tired.
Yeah, I went to bed very, very early last night. I think it was like around 8 o'clock. I was done. So yeah, I feel much, much more rested today. Obviously, I'm going to get sleep.
Yeah, I went to bed a little bit earlier last night. Slept pretty good. So I feel pretty good today.
I wish we could get around the whole sleeping thing. I would be getting much more done at home. If I'd have to sleep. Unfortunately, our body forces us to do it. Isn't there some record? Somebody tried to stay up for like 48 hours straight? I thought there was some type of record. Somebody could stay up for like 2 days straight. That's crazy.
There was a time that when I was in the military that I was approaching 40 hours, I think. I have to go back and think about that, but I had just gotten in bed one night, and I had a doc knock on the door. I had to go on stand. I was on standby, and for snow removal, and went out and worked through the night. And then Friday, I was up all day Friday. I had some stuff going because I was off because I'd worked through the night, And I just got back in bed Friday night, and I got another knock on the door. I had to go back in for some ice removal on the runway, and ended up working through most of Saturday, or Friday night, Saturday morning. So it was going on almost 48 hours.
Actually, I take that back. I did that October storm. Obviously, being at the fire department. The first night was just crazy. Just a lot of trees in power lines down, and a lot of people stuck. So that was the first night. So, did that. I think the next day is when I was running medications because nobody could get anywhere. So I was actually on my snowmobile running meds, and then I noticed I better get back to the firehouse. Well, I still had snow because the snow was melting at a pretty fast rate. So I had a quick zoom home on my snowmobile, dropped it off, and switched vehicles. So because the roads were passable again. And then I think we went to pumping out basements because of the snow was flooding. There was no power for days. I do remember that now. I think I was up for 48 hours. I think eventually we set up a schedule where some of us had to go to bed. And I think I remember just hit the pillow, and that was it. I was out.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And I talked to a guy who had been in the Army, and then he had joined the Air Force. And he said that when they were out in the field doing their drills, that some of the NCOs they kept them up for like 72 hours, and I go, wow. So I think I know that in the SEALs training, I know that they push them for lack of sleep to make sure that they can continue to keep thinking clearly, because I know that after so many hours, your thinking can go really wonky.
Yeah, so surprisingly, I was doing pretty good when I was up for my 40. I was still taking commands and still dishing out commands. I don't just do that very often. I need my sleep. This other thing was kind of weird. You just lose track of time, and I didn't realize it. I'm like, holy crap, I've been home for like 2 days. It finally dawned on me when I actually had some downtime. I guess those were just in go mode at that point, and just kept going, going, going.
Yeah, I think it helps, too, if you've got adrenaline going, especially like what you were doing. For me now, if I'm up for 18 hours, that's a long time, and I start getting cranky.
Yeah, I don't get cranky. I just get woozy and stuff. I must have been up too long. My daughter, Eric, actually could say, probably does the same thing. She'll just kind of like your shoulders are like dragging on the ground, just kind of bobbling around. It's like, all right, it's time for bed, when it's time.
Yeah, the grandkids, they get, you can tell. They're each a little bit different, but yeah, you can tell when it's time for them to go to bed.
So I have four connectors for you for Friday. Is that going to be enough, or would you require more? I was going to originally bring you two, but I thought about it, since I think you can put a lightning arrestor in, so I think I'll bring you four for that.
Four would be plenty, Ross, and I do have a section of cable cut off so we can see if everything's going to work. I don't know if I told you, this measures almost 400 thousandths in diameter.
Yeah, I did look at it lying a little bit yesterday. Obviously, I didn't bring a connector with me. But, I think it'll be close, but I think it'll work for you.
Oh, that's cool. Good. I appreciate that, Ross. This will get me started, to use this new coax. I'm going to have to get up in the attic. I'd like to do is get it at least run to the attic. Maybe I don't have an antenna yet, but at least get it run up there. So when I get everything, I can just hook it up and go.
Yeah, that'd be kind of nice to just be able to start all that stuff, plug it all in, and go with it. That'd be a, I think that'd be a good improvement for your coax. And yeah, you'll get there. You'll get there. But, all right, that's that time for me, Brad. KT2GDQ. This is KT2PET. 73. I will talk to you on Friday. And this should be my last Thursday, as my daughter is going to be going out camp. And I'll be returning back to work, and then for that, it'll be September, and the kids are going to start back to school. So I should be returning back to my normal Thursdays. I'll be able to talk to you then. So 73, Brad. Have a good good day. I'll talk to you on Friday.
73 to you, Ross. You have a great day. Have a good Thursday. I know getting up a little bit earlier on a, that can throw you off a little bit, but have a great Thursday, and I will talk to you on Friday. This is KE2GDQ and Clear Over This Channel.